Hi, I'm Michael Incavo, and welcome to Conversations with Creative Waco. On today's program, Jonathan Cook and Megan Davis with the City of Waco. Both have been with the city for more than 10 years at the Parks and Recreation Department, and they're the force behind Brazos Nights and so much more. Before we get to our conversation today, here's a little bit of information about Creative Waco. Some people don't realize that there is a vibrant and growing arts scene here in the Waco area. And that includes everything from music to theater, museums to public art, dance and festivals. The mission of Creative Waco is to grow and support the arts here in our community. And now, in this collaboration with KWBU, we have an opportunity to sit down and talk with people involved in the arts in Waco and Central Texas, and to learn more about the people making things happen, and to spotlight some interesting events in the area. Jonathan and Megan came by the KWBU studio earlier this week, and we had a great conversation about Brazos Nights and a lot of other great activities that happen here in Waco. Here's our conversation. Jonathan and Megan, welcome to Conversations with Creative Waco. I'm happy to have you guys both here.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for stopping by. I know you guys are really busy. So perhaps you could tell us a little bit about what each of you do.
Sure. Jonathan Cook, work with the City of Waco within the Parks and Recreation Division, and we oversee all the events and community happenings that take place on city property, and one of the things most enjoyable that we do is the Brazos Nights Concert Series, and this is the City of Waco's annual concert series. It takes place in the spring and summer at the Indian Spring Park next to the Suspension Bridge. Free concerts for the community, lots of family fun, and I tell you, it's one of the long-standing traditions of downtown Waco.
And Megan, how about you?
I work alongside with Jonathan Cook in the marketing and special events department of our division of our department. So with that being said, I work right along with him with the for the Brazos Nights concert series, anything on city property. But this is, like you said, one of our favorite events that we do each year.
And you guys have been working together for a long time, right?
Yes. I've actually been with the department for 10 years, and Jonathan's been there for 15.
Yeah, it's a long stretch, and I tell you, it's amazing how much just Waco in general has grown and changed in leaps and bounds. And, you know, going back, I know we brought Megan in about 10 years ago when she came over from the zoo, and we averaged about 125 events that were taking place on city property. And this year, we're looking to break a record. I think we'll have over 300 permitted events on city property.
No kidding.
So we often joke around and call ourselves the Office of Parades, Parties, and Protests, but we do a little bit more, but it is a wide range from arts events, music events, weddings, races, runs, you name it, it goes through us, and really our job from the city is just making sure that all events go smooth and creating those experiences for the citizens of Waco.
So I hadn't had nearly any experience with people who worked directly for the local government until I had done a little bit of reporting last year about the bus rodeo and our recycling program. And do you find it to be an easy job? Do you guys find it difficult? I mean, I imagine that – I mean, you guys have stuck around for a long time. I imagine it's something that you enjoy.
Absolutely. I mean, there's processes that are with any municipalities that we have to get through. But for the most part, our job is very enjoyable. I feel like we're very lucky when it comes to what we do because – we're not stagnant at all. We move around. We visit with a lot of people. We really get to engage and interact with the public. So it makes it very enjoyable.
It is. We constantly work with people. I mean, the phone rings, and it's working with people who want to have a great time in Waco and also in our park system. So it is. It's a rotating wheel of events every weekend. I believe right now, since the start of March, we're averaging about 10 events per weekend. And so with that, we're not only We're not only working with the people behind the scenes putting on the events, but then we're out there on the weekends. And there's nothing like seeing people flood into an event or in downtown and just seeing the smiles on the faces and seeing people enjoy our town and showcasing what we have to offer. So there is a lot of enjoyment, and I'm a huge music buff, so when it comes down, I'm able to book concerts and put on productions. It's a great job.
So speaking of which, can you talk a little bit about some of the artists that you guys have been able to bring in for Brazos Nights?
Sure. You know, Brazos Nights, I started in 2001, and I tell you, I look back in our first year that I was doing the concerts, we had Blake Shelton on July 4th.
No kidding.
And back in the day, he had just had a couple number one songs, and we were able to get him within the budget, and now we can't believe he's one of the biggest stars in country music. But I tell you, since that time, I think we've done about over 200 contracts. We typically work with about 10 to 15 artists per year. But looking back over the past couple years, usually in April, we always try to book a pretty high-profile national artist. We've had everybody from Los Lonely Boys, Eddie Money, the Wailers, and this year we were really honored. We had the gospel legend Mavis Staples came and performed and had a great show. And it's really one of our goals with the concert series these days is to bring in artists that typically would not come to the Waco area. You know, Waco, there's a little bit of a void when it comes to music venues. We have some smaller clubs, and then we have sort of some larger venues like Extraco Events Center, but that mid-range is really difficult. So we like to try to bring people. We look at calendars on who's in Dallas and Austin and bring those people to Waco so people don't have to travel out. And what we're seeing that response is we're actually seeing that tourism effect now of people know we're a great free concert by the river, and so people come down, book a weekend, stay in the hotels, and make a weekend out of it.
That's great. I didn't know that we had that effect going on.
It is, and growing more and more. Obviously, there's that silo effect where people around the state pay a little bit more attention to it. But, hey, when it comes to music, people will travel for music. And I tell you, like I said, it's bringing those artists in that typically wouldn't come. But we set out each year, and the goal is we usually do four or five concerts, and we want to make it as an eclectic lineup as possible. A lot of people will do straight Texas country, or a lot of people will, you know, want to do simply jazz or, you know, all across. And so we do look at all of our dates and just try to really hone in on each night you're giving something that a different style of music, but we wanted a style of music to where people can come and when they leave, they're like, man, that artist was really good.
I'm happy that you guys aim for that. Yeah, you know, that's something that I imagine the community appreciates. How's, you know, I'm pretty new to the area. How's the turnout for these events?
You know, typically on a night we'll have anywhere between 3,500 to 5,000 people.
Are you kidding me?
So yeah, we definitely fill the park, and I know Jonathan mentioned our concerts are free, so we get a good group of folks, kiddos. I mean, we provide a really cool family, family fun experience for everybody. Now on our July 4th event, which is 4th on the Brazos, we host that at McLean or outside of McLean Stadium at Touchdown Alley. That typically sees about 15,000 to 20,000. So it's
incredible.
It's pretty big event, but yeah, on an average evening, we'll have 5,000 people in the park, and it's awesome. I mean, it's great to see different, you know, like I said, different walks of life, and always fun. So
I had no idea the numbers were that big.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the crazy thing, it's a tradition thing, and we were working with some people, and a lot of times younger people now who are now working with different organizations, we had working with a guy the other day, and he's like, yeah, I remember when I was in eighth grade, I came to one of these concerts, and I was like, I put on that concert. Like, so, but, you know, people came back, and it's cool. I mean, we've got grandparents, we've got families, and people come out. You can bring picnic blankets and chairs and coolers, and it's just been for a long time. It was one of the only things to do in downtown. Now we have things every weekend, but it's really cool. It's the city, and our sponsors have continued to support it to make it one of those Waco traditions.
I've been trying to find a use for a cooler that I won in a contest. I think this might be a good place to go.
That might be it. bring it on down. So
you did mention that these guys have been, or these events have been going on for almost, 30 years?
Yes. Looking back, the city started around 1987, and it coincided with the opening of Indian Spring Park, which the city developed in the mid-1980s, and by the suspension bridge with the amphitheater, and now it's really become the main event park in the city of Waco. So it was started there back in the day in the early 90s, in mid-90s. Great crowds then. They would actually they would actually do up to 10 or 12 straight weeks of concerts every Friday, sometimes Friday and Saturday nights, and they would do laser shows on the sides of the Hilton. And I tell to this day, people still say, hey, can y'all bring the lasers back? So it went really well. But, you know, in the 90s, it was that weekly format of a summer concert series. When I took over in the early 2000s, I believe about 2004, we did a little switch in the layout. We tried a all weekend July 4th festival for 2 years, and then we looked at it, you know, it's like not only the work side of things, but it's really hard to get people to come out every week. And so we looked and went to a monthly format. And that way we did cut down on the number of artists that we were booking, but we were able to put a little more of our resources into the quality of artists. So instead of every week and you would just have cover bands or local bands, yeah, we were able to get into more regional artists. And so now over 10 years now, we've been on a monthly format to where typically on the first Fridays of April, May, June, and then on July 4th, we'll have concerts down at Indian Spring Park, and we've actually grown that. This is going to be our third year, but on May 20th, we have an event called Pints in the Park, where we focus on Texas barbecue, and it's a ticketed fundraiser event that also has live music, and so that's just another way for us to be able to raise some of the money to support and bring the artists. But, you know, we've got great sponsors who help it, and I will plug them. HEB has been a long time, over 20 years of donating to the Brazos Nights concert series. So, you know, it's a great way to help keep these concerts free.
And that's a big thing that we're big on at Creative Waco is, you know, promoting and supporting the arts in the community. And that's like one of the biggest ways that I think we've seen it happen. So
yeah, and I mean, and I tell you, and it's like everybody has seen, obviously music is the arts and that side, and we love bringing the quality artists and like I said, a mix of all different styles. But now what we're seeing, and one of the things that Megan works great on, and I'll let her speak a little bit about it, is creating that event experience. And a lot of times that does include local artists coming out at the events.
Yeah, so we do. We try to make it to where, you know, every age is welcomed and enjoys some part of our event. So as Jonathan mentioned, we do have some great local sponsors that come out, and they will bring the interactive booths. I mean, this next Friday at our Cinco de Mayo concert, we'll have a photo booth that everyone gets to walk away with a picture. And, you know, that's a tangible item that our sponsors have their name on. But, you know, who doesn't like a free photo in the park with all the fun, you know, the gear and all the little things that go along with that? But, it is. We really try to provide the experience and with the art side of it. When we do have local artists that will come out and showcase their talent, not only their talent, but their pieces of art. We partner with the Waco Culture Arts Fest, and they provide a free hands-on arts and crafts activity. So, we definitely want to incorporate that as part of our event each and every month.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. My name is Michael Incavo. This is Conversations with Creative Waco right here on KWBU 103.3 FM. We are here with Megan Davis and Jonathan Cook from the City of Waco and Brazos Nights. Megan, can you shed some light on something for me? I am 23 years old. Mm-hmm. I have never worked with someone for 10 years straight, right? Mm-hmm. That is longer of a period than I've ever encountered before. Can you talk a little bit about what that's like, how that's gone, and what allows you to keep doing that?
Absolutely. Well, as I mentioned earlier in the interview, our job is we are always on the move. We're always on the go. We're out and about. There's never any stagnant time at our, you know, during the workday ever. Yeah. So Jonathan and I have been working together for 10 years. I move really fast. I talk fast. He moves at a slow pace. So I've always said that we kind of balance each other out, you know, within the office or just with the community. There's that balance. And, you know, we get along great. We actually have a really good working relationship. We both, you know, we focus on the same things. We want to make Waco, things for Waco, great. So, you know, with that being said, it's been a fun 10 years, and I wouldn't change it for anything. So
that's a fantastic response. That's great.
Very scripted. No, I tell you, and just one thing with working for the city and within Waco, like I said, when we started, I hate to say this because I've never been a believer, but you hear it all the time. People, well, there's nothing to do in Waco.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, it got to the point, I think, to where we saw, like, the wheels turning and you saw the seeds being planted of something special happening in Waco. And it's really cool to be, I guess, lack of better terms, an old schooler, because we were there when things were just getting started, and now we've seen it develop. And now, at this point, we don't want to go away from that because there's that sense of ownership and sense of pride in what's happened. And, you know, looking at the calendar and used to on weekends, you could hit up a couple events on Saturday mornings, and now we have to go all day and be out there. But, you know, it's cool to have people want to be here, and then it's cool to see families, you know, just like with events like Art on Elm or the Waco Cultural Arts Fest, Texas Food Truck Showdown, these are new traditions that have started in Waco to be in the formation planning of those events and now see them be so successful. successful, it's really, really, really cool experience.
And I was majorly wrong on that, too. When I moved here a few years ago, I was under the impression that there wasn't a lot going on around here. And some of it was just me not getting involved enough and realizing what was around. And I do think a lot more has happened since 3 or 4 years ago when I moved here. What are some of the changes that you guys have seen in the community over the time that you have spent here?
Well, I think, you know, there's a definite, I guess, a love of the community in a way. With the younger generation that has come in, they're really excited to live here. And they want to be able that sense of community and wanting to volunteer. I mean, in our department, you know, we've talked about the events. Also talk about the marketing side of things and the volunteer and the community affairs side of things. And we do all the marketing for the Parks Department. And one of the things that we've just seen a huge increase is just the spirit of volunteer. And people want to get out. They want to do cleanups within the park. They want to donate their time. And I think for a long time, we didn't see that. A lot of people would maybe come to Baylor, and then they would be gone on the weekends. Yep. And then sure enough, 4 or 5 years, they, once they get the degree, they're out. Mm-hmm. But now we're seeing people want to stay here. And I think there's a lot more people that want to give back, a lot more on the artistic side as well.
You mentioned something really interesting, the amount of volunteerism that you guys have seen. So are these events mostly volunteer? Are they mostly paid staff?
Well,
how does it work?
We have a mix of both. I mean, it takes both efforts to make bring things together. One of the ones that comes to mind is our Waco Wonderland event, which is our wintery festival in downtown Waco. And we have to pick up a lot of – it's an 8-day event. Well, actually, I'm sorry. We used to do 8 days. Now we're down to 3. So it does. Okay. It requires our staff along with a good core group of volunteers, and we do.
Is that at the convention center?
It's in the parking lot of Heritage Square, just right
next
to the convention center. Yeah.
I'd seen the signs for it, I think, last year.
Right. Well, you've got 50 hours, you know, and we're a small staff. It does – we utilize people from other departments, but to do a 3-day event, we would not be able to do it with the amount of volunteers that we have. Just to man certain areas, help with crowd control, I mean, runners, it all comes together, and that's what makes it happen. So,
well, and I'll have to say, I consider myself one of the luckiest event managers because being with the city, we do have parks crew, we have built-in departments all around, so it is a lot easier for us at times to put on a large festival or a large event. And one of the things that we like to do when we have outside organizations or arts groups or fundraisers that want to put on the events, it's that support services, and I think that's crucial. And we've often had the support of city council and our management to where we consider ourselves somewhat of a one-stop shop for events, to where they can come to us with the dream and the idea. And one of the great things that we try to do is really just put the pen to paper and let people know how they can put this production on. And the city's always just been great to be able to, you know, we'll help you on this side. We can give you support on this side. And so we have a great system somewhat built in with our events. We have what we call the Special Events Committee, to where anytime you want to do an event on city property, you have to come to us, and then we put you in touch with people such as traffic department, solid waste,
that's gotta be
fire
really
department,
helpful.
And it's sort of a guideline of letting people know how they can put on the events. And we get the compliments all the time. A lot of event planners now are coming from outside areas, Dallas and Austin. They're like, we do not get this type of help. And it's not so much, you know, physical or financial help, but it's just walking through the process and giving them. So I think it's a benefit that we still operate a little bit of that small town mentality, to where help goes a long way.
If someone wants to get involved in one of these events, and someone wants to volunteer, someone wants to help out, how can they do that?
Well, typically what we'll do is we'll advertise. We do a lot of social media pushes for volunteers when we need them. That we utilize, you know, online registrations through our Waco CVB, and we'll just basically just, you know, basic ads to get the word out. And from that, as I mentioned, we have a core group of people that typically will be, you know, they'll sign up immediately, and then we'll have, you know, folks that come along the way. But basically our efforts go through social media to get the word out.
What social media in particular? Where can people find you guys?
We typically use Facebook. We have Facebook pages, Instagram. I mean, those two – areas that we really focus on. Jonathan does a lot of stuff on the web to make sure people are familiar and aware with what we do. So
yeah, it's as simple as that. And I'll tell you, just a way to change is, I mean, a simple Facebook message. That is, I mean, and it's crazy. People respond to that. People read that. And that's the easiest way if you want to get involved. And Megan mentioned our Waco Convention and Visitors Bureau, Susan Morton and Carla Pendergraph, they do a great job. And they have a complete volunteer database. And so what you can do, they use a website to where you can do online signups and you can know future events coming up. But I tell you, you see something and you might want to be involved, just go directly to the event. And I tell you, people are crazy when they turn down help. It's as easy as somebody, you know, whether you're just helping at an entrance gate, whether you're hanging some banners, we never turn down some help because it does take a lot of resources to put these types of events on. And you know, it gives the people a sense of ownership in the events as well.
And so the names of the – what can people search for on Facebook to get in touch with you guys?
I'll tell you, Waco Parks and Recreation is what we're under. Just go there. We keep it updated daily. Often on weekends, we'll list upcoming events and whatnot. But, yeah, anyone has any interest, just Waco Parks and Recreation, and definitely find us on Instagram or Facebook.
So this is kind of a nitty-gritty detail, but I think that everyone who listens to this show likely works, right? They manage – time, they manage a lot of details. The amount of details, the number of details that you guys likely have to deal with to bring Mavis Staples to Waco, to deal with all the contracts that you guys have talked about, to find the labor, to find people to help, to set everything up, logistics, all the stuff that luckily people get help doing here in Waco. But how do you guys manage that stuff on a day-to-day basis? How do you manage time? How do you manage resources like that?
Well, I tell you, pretty much, it starts with a daily meeting in the morning. We will get together, and I call it our priority list. And I think you have to have a clear outline of what you're going to accomplish that day. It's very easy to get sidetracked, obviously, with little things. And I tell you, being a two-person staff and doing marketing and events, it's easy to get sidetracked on doing a social media post. Or it's easy to get sidetracked. Megan, the other day, I like this number, in a two-day stretch, answer 94 event phone calls.
No kidding.
So Megan, she will often be the mouthpiece and just talk to people. And
yeah, when he mentioned sidetracked, he looked at me because I often get sidetracked. Even 5 minutes after our meeting, I walk in. What am I supposed to be doing again? So.
But we did. We did it this morning. You know, we come in, and I like to signal out what my priorities are for the morning. Come back in and look at what's been accomplished and mark it off the list and look at what has to be done in the afternoon. I will say overall, and been doing it a while, but when it comes to our festivals like Brazos Nights or Pints in the Park or Waco Wonderland, there's master to-do list, and that includes a timeline to where we know when we're 8 weeks out, this needs to be accomplished 6 weeks out. And I tell you the cool thing about it, I even got a message the other day, and it's an old contact of mine, friend of a friend, but from up in Seattle, and doing event productions and conferences up there, and a Christian like conferencing tour. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, can you just pass me along like sort of your guideline? And I was like, yeah, I can do that, you know, to where it has like contracts, deposits, marketing deadlines. And it does take a lot of work in the calendar.
Same for you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as you mentioned, we've just got we're pulled so many different directions just with our daily tasks and then, you know, things on the calendar that it really, it takes focus to kind of stay on the right track to make sure things do get accomplished. But that master to-do list, I mean, it really comes in handy. I reference it every day and, you know, some things are beyond our control as far as getting contracts back from artists. You can't always press, you know, you can't force that. But yeah, for the most part, we work on a schedule, and I'm a sticky note girl. You come in my office any given day, I have sticky notes just kind of everywhere to keep me focused. So
yeah.
Yep.
What kind of background do you guys have that got you into this type of work?
I have a business degree from over my college. Oh my gosh, University of Texas at Arlington, and just business. I kind of wanted to get into, first I wanted to do sales.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, that's kind of a dog-eat-dog world. So I did an internship with the Cameron Park Zoo under the marketing department.
Cool.
And fell in love with special events. That was where I really wanted to stay. You know, I loved the special events, and reached out to Jonathan when the city came up with a position and moved over here and loved it ever since. So
that's great. I love
And I started at the University of North Texas in Denton.
So did I. That was my freshman year. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. I was in the journalism department and got a journalism and public relations degree.
Cool.
And I tell you, one of my senior year projects was coordinating an Earth Day festival. And so I did some music booking there, and obviously a longtime music fan. And so that sort of piqued my interest. Found a job in Waco just almost right out of college. I originally worked with Omni Hotels right out of college. Worked with them for about a year and a half doing public relations stuff and the tourism side of things. So found a job, never thought I would end up in Waco, but landed here. And from there, it took off. And obviously, concerts were a big part of that. Coming out of college, the opportunity to book and produce concerts caught my attention, and never imagined we'd be here. But it's really cool looking back 16 years later and still doing it. And, I told my wife the other day, it's, it's still, I can't ask for a better opportunity with the job to be able to book concerts, being able to be in the park every week, every weekend, and just seeing festivals come to life. So it's enjoyable from that stance.
Interesting. Now, back to Brazos Knights as we're getting ready to close here. I heard that Eddie Money's back, and he was already here. Is there a reason he's back? Was there a particularly good turnout or something like that?
Well, I tell you, we did Eddie Money, I think it was back in 2013, 2014. Yeah, a couple years. And he did. He loved it. One of the things, and I'll just say, and we just did this with Mavis Staples, when an artist comes of higher profile to Waco, we roll out the Southern hospitality.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times people go to Dallas or Fort Worth or Austin and they'll get the ritzy hotels. They'll get all the fine dining. Maybe we don't have that, but what we do have is kindness. And when an artist
comes, that works.
It does, man. When you lay it out for them and just the kindness and have what they ask, that's one of the biggest things is when you advance a show, you just make sure you have the essentials of what they need. And you start off on a good fit, make sure their hotels are ready. That is always crucial. But, back to Eddie Money, we had a great turnout. We had over 5,000 people in the park.
Jeez.
And I know their booking agent was looking back to get in the Waco market. And now it's sort of cool. We have venues. He came to the backyard just 2 weeks ago. And it's cool to have those types of venues now to where artists can come back and people are able to pay the artists. So one thing we used to really, when working with booking agents, people would be like, Waco. And they're like, oh, Waco. And it's one beautiful thing about it is you can route shows from Dallas or Austin, Houston even. But now we're seeing, booking agents are calling us and wanting to get into that Waco market.
That's a great progress.
So it's pretty cool when you're having people saying, hey, we're going to be in Austin on this night. Are you interested in a show on the next night? It's tough to match that up sometimes, but it's getting easier. And hopefully we can keep bringing top-notch artists to Waco.
Megan Davis, Jonathan Cook, thank you guys so much for stopping by. I know you guys have really busy schedules, and we really do appreciate you finding time for conversations with Creative Waco. Thank you very much.
We appreciate
thank
y'all.
You.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Jonathan Cook and Megan Davis from the City of Waco and Brazos Knights. Conversations with Creative Waco is a production of KWBU and Creative Waco. This and other episodes can be found online at kwbu.org. And if you want to learn more about local arts activities, visit creativewaco.org. I'm Michael Incavo. Thanks for listening. And as always, please remember to support the arts around our community.